This work is something that David Hagstrom and I started a couple of years ago, and this is a review of literature that's out there on stored product entomology, and we focus primarily on the United States because that's what we're familiar with, and forgive me for not learning another language, you know, so, but at the end I want to summarize what we have done, and the intent is to have people in other countries do similar sort of things, and maybe we can collate all that information, you know, in the next 5 years or so. Many of you know what stored product entomology is all about. It deals with insects that infest raw and processed commodities, pulses, seeds, spices, dried fruits, nuts and other durable commodities, including dried flowers. And you know, for example, Indian meal moth, for instance, can feed on about 160 different food products. So these stored product insects are quite resilient. The stored product insects also attack commodities all the way from the farm to the table, and they contribute not million, multi-million, but multi-billion dollar loss to the grain, food, and retail industries worldwide. What I tried to do here, list organizations that are involved in stored product research, starting with the United States Department of Ag Labs, and I think some of you can correct me if I have all the lists here or not, Jim, but Jim Throne, I mean. I have listed about nine USDA labs, and many of them no longer are involved in stored product research. And the ones that are currently involved are the U.S. Grain Marketing and Research Production Research Center in Manhattan, Kansas. And you also have the USDA Commodity Protection Quality Lab in Parlier that moved from Fresno recently. And I do not know if the Gainesville lab is doing any research. So, but as you can see here, the names of some of the USDA labs did change over the years, and if you look at even the Manhattan Grain Marketing Production Research Center, it took on several names over the last 4 or 5 decades, with the current name, which is Grain Marketing and Production Research Center. And if you look at some of the older literature, you do see a lot of work done on cigarette beetle and others in the Richmond, Virginia lab, and a lot of work on chemicals done in the Gainesville lab, and I think there was two separate buildings, 1600 on the 23rd Drive in Gainesville versus 1700, which is the CMVAT building. So what you're seeing is a shrinkage in the number of USDA labs that are actually conducting stored product research. And again, even within each of those units, the type of research that's done, the priorities do change over time based on national and international demands and needs. Here's a list of universities in the United States that are involved in stored product research, and the oldest ones are Kansas State University and University of Minnesota, with at least 70 to 80 year history. There have been other labs that have started the stored product research, including Oklahoma State, Purdue University, and Montana State University. The entomology department had a couple of people doing stored product research, and now they changed, they blended into other departments, they consolidated into other programs. And the entomology faculty now ended up in the land resources and environmental science department. And if you go back to literature, especially in phosphine fumigation, you'll see there's some papers that came out of Department of Entomology, University of California, Vincent and Lindgren. In mid-80s, I think late 90s, the Atwood Research Facility at Kentucky State University had a viable stored product research program, started out with Dave Legg, and Bob Barney was in charge of the unit, and then you had John Sedlicek was the last person that was doing work in that area, and now I think they're phased out research in there, and they're primarily concentrating on organic agriculture. And you do have private sector folks doing stored product research, including Insects Limited, and Dave shared some of his research, some of his trial information this morning. Insect and Fumigation Service and Supply Company together, they're doing a lot of work on methyl bromide alternatives. Larry Pierce, I don't know if he's still, I tried to check the internet, but I couldn't find a website for him, you know, but he was listed under Hawaii Businesses. He used to do a lot of work on pheromone trapping in the food industry. The food protection services, and then Dow AgroSciences, of course, has done a lot of research on developing a lot of products for the stored grain and the urban industry, and they do have a lot of competent and qualified scientists that generate excellent data, and they do collaborate and work with some of the universities. And here's a list, no means comprehensive list of institutions that at one time or another have been involved in stored product research, and you can start looking at some of the literature and information that came out of their labs. And you know, we have several of the individuals in this room today from some of those international centers. And I want to acknowledge a few of those people, including Yongchu Deng here, my visiting professor from Chongqing, Southwest University in China. And then you have Flavio Lazzari, Antonio Lazzari from Parana, University of Curitiba, and Vaclav Stajskal. And there's several other individuals that we tend to see at some of the international meetings. And again, if you go through this list, at one time or another, some of these institutions were actively involved in stored product research, but if you now compile a list of people actively conducting research, even you see a shrinkage in the number of institutions that are doing research, and even number of individuals that are doing research internationally. So that led us to think about sources of stored product information. I know we're seeing a decrease in number of people, number of institutions, but still there are greater demands on the information, and especially with the phase out of chemicals and things, it becomes very important to start looking at where you can find good, solid information on stored product entomology. And some of the sources are scattered in stored product entomology books, and urban entomology books that from time to time do deal with some stored product chapters. And there are a lot of scientific journals, but for this review, we have excluded scientific journals because they've been discussed elsewhere. There's also information that comes out of quarantine inspections at ports, interceptions in a lot of the commodities that are imported. And a lot of stored product information is also is available through courses that are offered as part of economic entomology, ag entomology, applied entomology, and even seed technology courses. And there's a lot of information on stored product entomology in several extension bulletins. I'll talk a little bit about that. And in popular articles and in extension websites. We did not go try to look at commercial websites. There's all kinds of information, but they've been abstracted from other sources. Current situation, as I just outlined, there are fewer institutions involved. Primarily, I think, could be funding driven, and we see a shrinkage in number of people doing active research. And also, this extension budget has decreased over time, especially in the United States. The consolidation of units, and I even know at Kansas State University, we were at a meeting recently, Tom, where they're talking about examining to see if each of the department or programs are meeting the Board of Regents criteria. So if that doesn't happen over time, they try to consolidate units as well as like it happened at Oregon State and Montana State. So the bottom line is we have fewer people involved in stored product research, which means there's more money out there for us, but at the same time, you're not having a lot of people generating excellent data, and especially the needs. As Dave goes and talks about some of these issues in developing or underdeveloped countries, there's actually not much research done. So they have to take information from the U.S., and it may or may not be relevant in under those situations. There's actually been a shift, especially if we talk about entomology department, the Tom's department now. They've moved away from commodity-oriented positions. At one time, you had a corn entomologist, you had a stored grain entomologist. They're going more into discipline-oriented position, primarily more on the molecular biology side. And again, that's probably driven by funding as well. And there are strict federal regulations now, the Food 1996 Food Quality Protection Act, phosphine risk mitigation measures, you have the methyl bromide phase-out. All of those things are reducing the number of chemicals available. And what that means is there's greater need for research in terms of looking at alternatives to replace those chemicals that we have lost. And also there's a greater shift in the consumer's demand. Everybody's now going into organic grains. They're now thinking about healthy foods. So again, that pushes the companies to embrace alternatives. If you look at Quaker Oats, that we worked with them last year, they have made a mandate to not use pesticides at all. I mean, they use crack and crevice treatment, but their mandate is to phase out completely chemical use in all of their facilities worldwide. And then again, there's a greater emphasis now for some of those reasons on alternatives. Okay, information needs. They haven't changed. You know, I mean, we keep getting the same number of calls in terms of problems. And I know with the mold mite and some of the exciting work that Stephen Kelsey is doing, you know, that's again, based on research that he's doing, he's got some people contacting him asking for alternative technologies for management of food industry pests or pests in the retail stores. And then we have the information needs are increasing every day, but there are only fewer people trying to fill those needs. And even if you look at the available information out there, it's tough to access it. I do get calls from other states and other people saying, hey, we can't find an answer. Recently, I got a call from American Institute of Baking. They're looking for tolerance of phosphine in processed materials, and they couldn't get that. And, you know, it's 0.1 ppm on grain and 0.01 in processed materials. So, and all of this information is not logically arranged. There's no one-stop shop for some of this information. So that's one of the reasons that led David and I to look at the information and try to pull it together in one place so it's easily accessible. And again, use of reduced risk pesticides and alternatives. If you're trying to embrace alternatives to manage pests, you need to have a better understanding of insect biology, behavior, ecology, so you can target the right stage and you can understand how some of these technologies affect the insects. What is the impact of some of the alternatives on stored product insects? How are they susceptible to various IPM tactics? So there's again, as you embrace alternatives, we need to fill a lot of data gaps, which means we need more funding, more people doing the work. Okay, previous reviews on stored product insect information. I just cited some of the books that we have, but also there's a lot of scientific literature from various books from other authors as well. This is the book that David and I, this is a textbook that came out last year. It's called Fundamentals of Stored Product Entomology. It looked at 45, it reviewed information from 45 books, about 13 reviews that spanned for over a 50-year period. And we also summarized information from 21 conference proceedings. So it's all at the end of the book. So if you're interested, they're listed at the back of the book. Fields and Mayer in 1999 at the Beijing conference summarized information on government, university, and internet sites where stored product information is available. And Richard Mankin has written a paper where he has indicated the website featured creatures, which includes a few stored product insects. The demand for that information has increased sixfold between over a two-year period. So clearly, the people are looking for some of this information from various sources. Okay, the current review that I'm going to talk about expands on the work that Fields and Mayer and also some of the information that was cited in our earlier textbook. And what we did for this review was to go through 29 entomology books, stored product entomology, as well as urban entomology texts. And many of the urban entomology texts, David, are Malus Handbook of Pest Control. And we looked at 15 stored product entomology courses offered worldwide. And then we looked at 582 popular articles, 182 extension bulletins, and over 226 extension websites. And we excluded journals for obvious reasons because they were covered in the previous textbooks and also edited books. And again, as I indicated, this review is no means comprehensive. I mean, there'll be a lot of data gaps and I see this as work in progress. We, you know, as new information becomes available, if you send me information, we'll keep adding to this database. What were some of the information gathering methods for us? The first thing we did was did a review of literature. We looked at various books, entomology and urban and stored product entomology books. We sent out, we contacted several colleagues, 22 colleagues in various countries through email, asking them about some of the courses they teach in the respective countries. We asked them the type of, you know, how long the course was taught and who taught it, how many students were enrolled in the class, what kind of resources they used to teach the class, to teach the course. And if they're not included in my review, in this current review, which means they either did not respond or did not provide the required information. And to look at popular articles, we went through, you know, Pest Control Magazine. We looked at some of the articles that Linda Mason has in Grain Journal and some of the articles that I have in the Milling Journal and a few other trade magazines. We looked at exclusive extension websites that by looking at various search engines, and we did some searches. It was an exhaustive search. And then we went to the library and looked at some extension bulletins and fact sheets on stored product insects. This is just a table showing the source of information and the number of stored product insects that are covered. As expected, In storefront entomology books, there are more number of species covered, and this included about two books, but we had about nine or so urban entomology books. And if you look at economic entomology books, there's only about fewer storefront insects covered there, and popular articles and extension websites covered about 29 to 52 storefront insects. And in urban entomology, economic entomology, and popular articles and extension websites, you'll tend to see a lot of coverage only on a limited number of commonly found species or species that are found in homes, mostly primarily pantry pests. And species within those three families were prominent in the urban literature compared to the storefront entomology books. And again, coverage of some of the insects, the content, the quality of content in urban entomology books is extremely limited. You know, people would make a statement something to the extent that under favorable conditions, the insect will take 30 to 35 days to go from egg to adult, which does not give you a whole lot of information because the insect development does vary with temperatures. So a lot of these things are very abridged pieces of information. Really, the quality is lacking in some of these books. There are a lot of seed technology books out there, but they deal a lot with seed quality, seed vigor, but very little with respect to stored product insects and how they affect seed quality. One of the excellent sources is the Crop Protection Compendium. I know Jim Throne has written about Crypalis species in there. CABI covered about 50 different insect species on various aspects, including biology, geographic distribution, commodities, infested type of damage, and natural enemies. Dave and I are right now working on another book. The thing is with the publisher right now, the book proposal, and what we've done, it's going to be called the Stored Product Reference Handbook, and we found about close to a little over 1,100 insect species, stored product insect species that attack stored commodities, and about 350 natural enemies. But if you look at information in the literature, hardly 10% of those species are actually covered in any literature. And many of the species are cosmopolitans, and other are just limited distribution. And again, as I said, most of the coverage is restricted to some of the more economically important species. These are some stored product entomology courses taught in various countries based on the responses we received. There's about 13 different locations that are listed here. You can see in Southwest University. They started teaching in 1940 here. This number of students, the information is not available. And also, I expect this number to change from year to year depending on student enrollment. And these are the instructors that taught the class, and I'm just going to not say too much about this, you know. And right now, Dr. Deng is teaching this class since 88 at Kansas State University. Entomology Department and the Grain Science Department, from which I am, taught stored product insect courses, starting with Don Wilbur Sr. Between 49 and 68, and then later on, Don Wilbur was replaced by Bob Mills, and he left, you know, retired in 1990. And then Barry Dover taught there for about 8 years. And I think Dave Haxham is now teaching the same course. And these are the core. I teach two courses. One is called Food and Feed Product Protection, where I have about 20 to 40 students. And then I teach another course called the Fundamentals of Grain Storage. There's hardly about anywhere from 0 to 8 students, you know, in any given year. And these are just a list of other universities involved in teaching courses. And I thought this number said 250, but I think that was a misprint. I think it's 25. There's about 13 different institutions. So if your institution is not listed here or the university, please let me know and we'll add it to the list. Information in popular articles, extension bulletins. There's about 990 articles and across these popular articles, extension bulletin websites. 49% covered insect biology, and 51% dealt primarily with pest management. And again, the coverage is restricted to these orders because of their importance in the urban setting, not in the stored product setting. Interesting findings. This diapause is very important. I know Stephen Kells alluded to that today. Only one popular article on diapause. And identifying source population is very important if you're going to manage insects, but there's only 1.2% of the articles talked about source populations. And again, pantry pests are more frequently covered, you know, 45 versus 15, even in those extension bulletins. And give me about a couple minutes. Extend, there's only a few, I'll just, it's almost done, a few more slides. Extension websites, we found extension websites from 41 states, and these are the states that did not have any extension websites, and most of the information came from these following states, okay? And Pest Control Magazine, these are articles by insect taxa here. Again, you can see orders that are more important in the urban setting are the more number of articles in the Pest Control Magazine on pests that are more common in the urban setting, again, Dermestidae, Lysitinidae. And we also have this list by species, but we're not going to get into that. Okay, again, you can see fabric pests. And there's a lot of articles on pest management and fumigation. Okay, these are articles by Dr. Linda Mason in Grain Journal, and I think it's a quarterly magazine. I don't know if it's monthly or quarterly. But again, she talks about various topics here. We indicated the number of articles by topic, and you can see most of them are on pest management. And these are articles that I write in the Milling Journal. It's four times a year, and again, it's most of it is based on the research I do at K-State. So. And these are articles, these are short summaries of research done by USDA scientists, and they do publish it in the Agricultural Research Magazine, and these are just short snippets about research findings, and they do cover a broad range of topics. Extension bulletins, there's about 32 states that published extension bulletins, and the older ones came from all those states that did not have an extension website. And most extension bulletins in descending order, starting with Minnesota, California, Kansas, Michigan, and Nebraska. And most of these extension publications covered both insect biology and pest management, and integrated pest management was covered only in about 77 of those websites. And if you look at 40% of the 182 bulletins were done by USDA, if you go back to the extension bulletins, USDA has done a fantastic job in summarizing information in the extension bulletins. And again, if you look at extension website, insect biology and IPM, only 216 sites. IPM alone in about 10 sites. And again, these are by insect taxa. And you can see there's a good correlation between the number of states and the number of websites. There's a positive correlation between those two. Yes, same thing again here. This is the extension bulletin websites by subject area. And again, these are the sources for a lot of data on quarantine inspections. And this information is a little bit scanty, though. I mean, I don't know how extensive their sampling technique is, but you do find occasionally some insects that are coming in through imports into the U.S. Summary, last slide. Okay. The depth and quality of information, as expected, is better in stored product entomology books relative to other sources. And what we did is we compiled this, we sent this 91-page manuscript I just submitted last week to American Entomologists, and it does, if you're interested, I'll be happy to part with this so I don't have to take it home. And our goal was to put all that information in one place. So if you're interested, you can have, it's readily available and accessible. And again, there's a need to publish research findings by scientists in popular magazines and trade journals so that the end users can see it, understand it, and maybe contact you for a follow-up or even to come and help them out. And again, having this information out there just generates greater awareness. And again, I apologize for the people in other countries that I've not included their source of information, but the idea is I want you to go back to your countries and start summarizing the information, and maybe we can have a forum where we can compile all this information at one place eventually. With that, thanks so much, and thank you for giving me an extra minute or two.